Well, it is election year, and this year it's a special election year because we have not only local races that we are deciding, statewide races that we are deciding, but we also have nationwide races across the country. This is the midterm elections, and voter turnout is always better in these types of years. As a matter of fact, in the state of Connecticut right now is running well ahead of people that have already voted from 2 years ago and from 4 years ago. So there's a lot of interest in the races that are going on and the people that are running. And we have a brand new candidate running for our state Senate here that covers our area in the northwest corner of Connecticut. And that person who is running is maybe a new person running for this position in the state Senate, but he's not new in the government in Connecticut. His name is Stephen Harding, and he's from Brookfield. Stephen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to a conversation, and thank you for the opportunity.
So let's talk a little bit for people that are not aware of your background and what you have done so far. This is not the first time you're running for political office. You have been in political office. So a little background to acquaint you with listeners to Robin Hood Radio.
I was first elected to government, actually, when I first ran for the Board of Education in 2013 in my hometown of Brookfield. Brookfield is a town where I was raised, and now I'm fortunate and blessed to be raising my own family in Brookfield with my wife, Kelly. We have two young children, Piper and Carter. And my first elected position was in 2013, as I mentioned, to the Brookfield Board of Ed. And then in 2015, in a special election, I ran for state representative of the 107th District, which includes my hometown of Brookfield, as I mentioned. And I was successful in that race and have been successful in every race since then, and I continue to remain in the position of state representative and hoping to be able to represent a broader swath of constituents, basically the entirety, for the most part, of Northwest Connecticut, which is very exciting and something that's very important.
The district sizes must be an amazing difference size to when you're running for state representative as to running for state Senate. Now, I mean, this is a pretty big Senate district.
Absolutely. In fact, this is the biggest geographical Senate district in the state of Connecticut. So it is very large. It is 18 towns. It was 14 towns prior to the redistricting this year. It's now become 18. And so it's very different than my state representative role, which is three towns. It's certainly a challenge in many respects, getting around, driving to all the different towns in the community. But it's exciting, and it's fun getting to meet new voters and new constituents. And I'm really looking forward to hopefully having the opportunity to continue to represent them.
We live in a very diverse district up here in Northwest Connecticut, and the population breakdown between senior citizens and younger people basically favors over towards, in our neck of the woods, towards senior citizens. So let's talk about some of the things that you did when you were representing the 107th District. I understand that you were on environmental committees and education committees as well?
Yep. So I've had the honor of being on the Judiciary Committee all of the terms that I've been in Hartford. I've been in the Environment Committee with hopefully who will be my predecessor, Senator Minor, who I'm looking to succeed. He was the ranking member on the Environment Committee, and I was his House ranking member with him on the Environment Committee for every term except one. In Hartford, I've been on the ranking member of the Environment Committee, and currently I sit on the Education Committee. I was previously on the Government Administration and Elections Committee for one term prior to that. But the committees that I'm fortunate enough to be on now have a huge impact in my state representative district, have a significant impact in the 30th Senate district where I'm looking to represent. We pass a lot of good legislation. We review some legislation which may not be so helpful, which I'm always willing to address and advocate. That advocate against, if I feel that it's harmful to the constituents that I represent. So it's a broad array of the bills that we face, and being in committee work, you get an in-depth knowledge of all the bills, which I enjoy and really get to analyze the policy. But you mentioned something very important, and that is the senior citizens in the district. The 30th district, the Senate district, has quite a number of senior citizens. It generally has more senior citizens than most Senate districts throughout the state. And that's one of the reasons why I first ran for this position, first ran for state representative. I was upset seeing a lot of my friends' parents, who I grew up around and helped generally raise me in my community, leave and find other places to go because it was unaffordable to be here in their senior citizen years, their retirement years. And so one of the things that I've worked on in the legislature is placing a sunset of taxes on pensions and Social Security benefits. I think that's critically important to helping senior citizens stay here, as well as just an overall focus on the tax burden placed upon our residents. That's something that I've always had a keen focus on and will continue to have a keen focus on if I'm fortunate enough to be elected, because a lot of the times it's the senior citizens who are on fixed incomes that are most impacted by the increased tax burden.
We're speaking once again with Stephen Harding. He is running for the Connecticut State Senate 30th District, and we've looked in your background and your past. We live in very turbulent times in this country, in this world, and in this state. I guess a couple of things that I want to focus in on and talk with you about. First of all, we'll start off with Sharon Hospital. It is a yes. huge topic, not only here in the immediate northwest corner, but across the line in New York State as well. And this is a topic that has really grabbed the interest of residents, doctors, professionals, everybody. What do you think about what's going on with New Vance Health and Sharon Hospital?
I think it's absolutely shameful what New Vance Health is looking to do. I stand 100% with the residents of this community, with the hardworking staff at Sharon Hospital, to keep the ICU and to keep the maternity wards open. It is an essential service to the Northwest corner, to the people of the Northwest corner of our state, and even across the border, as you mentioned, into New York. These services need to remain. New Vance, when they purchased the hospital, made a commitment for at least 5 years to the people of this community and to keep those services open. They were told, they were promised by New Vance to keep those services open. I think it's absolutely inexplicable. It is shameful what New Vance is looking to do. They're putting profits over care for their patients. And I think this speaks overall to these medical providers monopolizing and conglomerating into larger organizations that just look at profit over patient care, and it needs to stop. And fortunately, in this case, Connecticut has an opportunity to deny this request. OHS has the opportunity to deny this. I am hopeful that they will. I haven't been advocating with my fellow neighbors all across the Northwest corner to keep the maternity ward and ICU open. It needs to remain open, and I am hopeful that with the movement that we've seen with the many residents and staff and coming together, that OHS will make the correct decision, deny that request by New Vance, and will continue to keep these critical essential services open. When you open up medical facilities such as Sharon Hospital, it is more than just profit. That's why there's OHS involved to approve these changes. It's a necessity because it's so the care you provide is so critical, is so necessary. It is literally the difference between life and death. And so I'm hopeful that OHS will be making the right decision here and denying that change, and will continue working with the state government and OHS to ensure that the ICU and maternity ward remains open even past the five-year licensure that they have now. It's critically important to the people in the Northwest corner, to the economy, and just to the general livelihood of everybody here.
What's interesting, we're speaking, Steve, with your view of this, is your district is so large, is that you're familiar with healthcare because New Milford has hospitals. So you're very aware, and you're aware of the differences about living in an area like New Milford and living in an area like Sharon or the extreme northwest corner. The differences are so huge that it really Sharon Hospital becomes even more important.
You're exactly right. Sharon Hospital is an even more unique situation. Unlike New Milford, where you could potentially travel down to Danbury, it's still something that I think is unacceptable. But it's different, and it makes Sharon unique in the fact that if you live in Salisbury, if you live in Sharon, you're talking about a 45-minute trip at the least to get to your other hospital that would be able to provide you labor delivery for a maternity ward or ICU care. It is literally just life and death, and that's not even addressing the fact that there's really no good route to get to any of the other hospitals either. So Sharon is an unbelievably unique situation here, and I think it highlights the fact why the ICU and maternity ward remaining open is so critical to the people of the Northwest Hills. It is an absolute necessity, because there's no other good option. There's no other reasonable alternative in this.
We'll move on from the Sharon Hospital, and next thing that really I think sits on most people's minds are taxes and the ability. You already mentioned this with senior citizens, but the ability to live in our area and to buy houses and work and grow in our area.
Yes, so that is one thing that has always been a focal point of what I've looked to in the legislature as a state representative. And I'll continue to do if I'm fortunate enough to be elected to the state Senate. And that is fiscally responsible budgeting here in the state of Connecticut. We've had a tendency, unfortunately, over the last 30 years plus of contracting ourselves in the contractual agreements that are just simply unaffordable for the state. And so going forward, one thing that I've always advocated for and will continue to advocate for is responsible budgeting. Making sure that the contracts that we come to with whether it be state employee unions, whether it be with anybody else, is reasonable, and we're not putting on debt and financial responsibility that's unaffordable in future years. And I think that we've made some steps towards financial stability here. Back in 2017, both parties came together, and I was proud to be part of this, and put in some spending caps, some bonding caps, a volatility cap, and that was the most important aspect of what was done in the 2017 budget, was the volatility cap. Because of that volatility cap, we have over $4 billion in our rainy day fund. It stopped the legislature from spending those funds and forced the legislature to pay off many of our pension obligations, which was in desperate need of payment, as well as put money away into the rainy day fund of about $4 billion+. And what that was a cap on revenue estimates from capital gains taxes, and we've seen that increase over the past number of years, and that's the reason why we have the rainy day fund that we have. So I think with the spending caps and the bonding caps, and as I mentioned, the volatility cap that is being followed by the legislature and other structural changes financially that we can put in place, I think we can get our economy onto a place where we can start alleviating the tax burden, not just stopping it from increasing, but alleviating the tax burden upon the residents of this state. And that is something that I just mentioned in the beginning, and you mentioned is critical to allowing our senior citizens to be able to afford to live here throughout their retirement years.
And just one other thing to hit, we're once again speaking with Steve Harding, running for the Connecticut State Senate 30th district seat, and that is where we live. Open space and zoning and preservation zoning is a very important topic to people around here.
Absolutely. That is the one thing that's the prevailing subject. As you mentioned at the beginning, the 30th district is very diverse in terms of the importance of issues depending on where you are in the district. But one thing that is absolutely prevailing, no matter where I am, from Brookfield to Salisbury, from Salisbury over to Litchfield, is the importance of open space preservation. And the northwest corner is unbelievably beautiful. It is the reason why many of us decide to live here, to lay down our roots here, is the beauty and the open space that we have here. So one of the things in Hartford that we continuously see is a push to implement a statewide zoning, and that's something that I'm absolutely against. I think it's critically important for open space preservation to have local neighbors making the decisions in terms of what gets built and development. I think that's critically important to keeping the open space and the environment and the beauty that we have in the Northwest Hills. And that's something that I'll always be advocating for if I'm fortunate enough to be elected, and it's something that I've had a history in the legislature of advocating for as a state representative.
Well, it's been great talking to you, and when the elections are over, if you are successful, we'll put you on a list where quarterly we'll check in with you and see what's going on in the state Senate as opposed to what is going on in the House. As I said, I applaud anybody who takes up the mantle and decides to run for public office nowadays. It's not an easy job. It's not easy to run. It's not cheap to run like it used to be years ago. There's a lot of work that goes into it. So once again, thank you for taking the time for running. And who knows, maybe we'll be speaking off and on over every quarter for the next couple of years.
I certainly hope so. And I thank you for the time, sir.